This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on development projects in Varanasi. The participants are N.K. Singh, political analyst, and Vijay Kranti, journalist.
Today, Prime Minister was in Varanasi and he inaugurated quite a lot of projects. Especially, it was Ravidas Jayanti today. And then he inaugurated a locomotive for railways, which earlier was a diesel one, and then it has been converted by the Indian railway scientists and technologists into an electricity one. So there have been quite a lot of developments today, quite a long list of new projects which were inaugurated today by Prime Minister. Mr. N.K. Singh, how do you look at the development?
I think this is going to make a turnaround in Indian technology. You can imagine the kind of change that is going to be affected now. Diesel engine, diesel locomotive, which was in Banaras known as Direka. This Direka will now be producing electric diesel engine from the same electric engine from out of the same diesel engine. I mean, that diesel engine is being converted into an electric engine. You can see the nature of complication that it must have invited when initial. And the most surprising part of it is that it was prepared in 69 days. When I came to know about it, I was so marveled
yes,
at the
it's mind-boggling.
69 days and you are converting a diesel locomotive engine into an electric engine. This shows the height of professional efficiency that Indian technocrats have. And you can imagine the combustion chamber, because diesel engines are basically, or for that matter, petrol engines, they are combustion motors. In the chamber, you fire with the help of air. And petrol or diesel, whatever is a combustion element you are taking, and then you further ignite it, and then in the chamber, gas expands. That
and
is how piston moves.
Then it runs the piston.
And here, you are switching over to completely electric engine, which has a different principle altogether. And you are utilizing the same chamber, same entire technology, to make it cost effective. Which is really mind-boggling.
More than being cost-effective, in addition, I would add one more dimension to it. If you see the journey of Indian Railways, we started with coal engines. You remember those coal engines, which are not very efficient, but they were the main workhorse. And slowly when diesel locomotives were added to the fleet, then slowly even the last coal engine was removed and was replaced by diesel engines. Mm-hmm. And recently, now because electrification has happened at the national level, so now it's the requirement is that the railway should run on electric engines. So here it becomes significant that the huge fleet of diesel engines, which would have otherwise gone redundant, our technologists sitting and engineers sitting in railways, they have played this miracle that they have converted the same engine. Now you only thing you have to change is the motor part.
I think Direka, that is railway factory that is there in Varanasi, Direka should be given some award. Because
yes,
I cannot
course.
Conceive the way they have affected this whole project. And mind you, we have all suffered coal engine, you know, coal dust. You and I both have suffered that. And I was going to a remote area in Bihar for decades in a row. We had suffered that problem. And now that it was converted into diesel, and that diesel, it is not environment friendly. It causes pollution in the air because of combustion. Now you have shifted to electric.
A totally new generation.
And you know, it has taken some 30 years to develop this complete dieselization. Those days I used to write reports that India is heading towards complete dieselization. Now we are going to say even diesel has been phased out, and now India is embarking on a new project that is complete electrification of diesel locomotives.
Okay, I think this is time to pay another tribute to the railway engineers and technicians, which has been already in discussion. The Train 18 which they had developed on their own. It's a very new technology in the class of bullet trains. And here every coach is in itself a kind of engine because
yeah,
it has its own motor.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cost effective when you compare it to imported bullet trains or fast running trains.
Yes.
This is a marvel. So I think this is time to pay another tribute to our technicians and the engineers in the railways.
Indeed it is, for the simple reason. See, the first point is it is highly lightweight because every coach has a motor. Meaning thereby that a locomotive will not be there which will pull it or push it. That is how you can detach it also, because it will be self-sufficient. And more than that, it is so light that when it was on the traction, particularly on the traction, because achieving 180 km maximum speed, it needs a very strong track. So how they have done away with that? Because our tracks were old. Laying new track would have been very costly.
No, those amendments, railway engineers...
No, it was like, they made it lightweight. Now it is fiber and all that. With that, it is highly track worthy. It became track worthy because of less weight that it carried along. So now I think that this will, even in bullet train, you will apply this technology in your future bullet train sets.
We can imagine that going by this trend, having seen train 18 and now the locomotives being
You have
changed,
already achieved 180 maximum per hour.
So that change, I think now we can think of a day when India will be not only self-sufficient in providing these coaches and the trains.
Yes, we will be exporting railway engines.
And yes. That's what is called Make in India.
That's right. We will be earning, and more than that, all developing countries that we have in a row. What will happen that all those countries where digitalization is 100% or 70%, we will be providing them with this new technology or new engine, which will be ipso facto converted into from diesel into electric. So that will be an export-oriented technology that we will be imbibing.
So that is something very we can say that the Prime Minister has dedicated this locomotive to the nation, and we can see that it's going a long way in the future. One thing more, Make in India, and that is spirituality. So today was the anniversary of the great saint, Ravidas Ji.
Vijay Ji, it's more than spirituality. I believe it is re-establishing and re-paying respect and developing an icon, which a government should also do, society should also do. Ravidas is our icon.
One of the greatest icons of Bhakti movement.
Yes, that movement, you know, that during that Bhakti era, there were so many saints, and Ravidas was one of the premier saints, main saints in the entire array. That being the situation, now an effort is being made by the government or by the society as well, that Sant Ravidas is made the most important icon of this country, and people pay obeisance to this saint.
Yes.
So that is how this recognition will go a long way.
You know, this is something very positive we can say.
And in every society, icon building is a very important process. What kind of icon you select, and how, what kind of obeisance you pay to him, that is very important. So now this exercise is underway, and I think that this is in the right direction.
Unfortunately, we have gone through a process over the past few decades where we had the tendency of rejecting the Indian spirituality or Indian thought process for so many reasons. Let's not go into that detail, but I think the way Swami Guru Ravidas Ji's Jayanti has been celebrated today, and the Prime Minister, he has given go ahead and inaugurated his birthplace to develop into a national kind of a memorial. That shows that it is time we have to, as a nation, we have to acknowledge the great strength we have of the great icons, the great thinkers who grew from the same soil of India.
You rightly put it. See, what happens that these icons, why do we need those icons? Because when society slips into infinite abyss because of market factors, market pressures, your values crumble, that is the time when these icons, they stand like pegs, and you can hold.
You can hold them and
you can stay back.
And handle any crisis.
Even so that is where these icons are highly required. And good that a government is thinking on that those directions. And even society, for that matter, is picking up the right icons now. Otherwise, sometimes it happens that we choose wrong icons, and then we don't get a direction. On the slippery path, we don't get a direction.
And I think Guru Ravidas becomes far more important for one more reason. That right now we see because of political compulsions, there is a tendency of, rather than uniting the society, the tendency of dividing the society only because some groups see a political windfall out of dividing the society. So when Guru Ravidas kind of a personality, when is rehabilitated in a society, I think that is a very positive.
Naturally, when those saints, when they speak of the downtrodden, obviously they are completely away from any partial views. So therefore, picking up Sant Ravidas as our icon is the most richest tribute that we are paying to our great saints. This is a process which should go on, and we should pick up right icons and develop them so that society can pay obeisance and then learn from what they have taught you.
Today was the day when Prime Minister inaugurated a cancer institute in Banaras Hindu University, the Madan Mohan Malviya Cancer Research Institute. And then there was a 150-bed super specialty which is being added to the ESI hospital and a casualty block. These things show, especially in that area, the eastern UP, which is very close to Bihar. Do you think it's going to make some difference?
Yes, I am so grateful to the government on the stock premise. When somebody is critically ill in that remote area, the first thing that comes to his mind or to his family's mind is that rush him immediately to Banaras, BHU. That is the stock rescue that they take recourse to. The reason is very simple. That is the only medical college which provides a complete medical cure. Now, cancer was just a department in that medical college. That there is a cancer institute. This will cater to at least half North Bihar and then at least 15 districts of Eastern UP. BHU is a premier institute. And this cancer institute will go a long way in serving people, at least 10 crore people of that vicinity.
That's a big development.
So far as ESI is concerned, see, ESIC was brought into existence under an act in 1952, Employees State Insurance Corporation. Because we had embarked on a great industrialization, after that, it dawned upon them, government, that for treatment of these workers, where will they go? Because the kind of money they pay, they cannot go for private hospitalization. So therefore, ESIC was developed, Employees State Insurance Hospitals were developed. There are two components in that. One is healthcare, other is their subsistence level. So if there is an ailing worker, he will treat it on the one hand, and on the other, will be given half of the salary.
Hmm.
That is how ESI Act works. And now the salary limit has been raised. It is 25,000 salary. Given that, now a lot of workers will be in that net. So providing them complete health care, ESIC hospital service has to be developed in a very wider.
So today, Prime Minister's visit, although it was a very short visit to this area, but there was quite a few more projects, and the total cost of these projects is being said that it will be around 2,900 crore rupees. That also includes a few more projects. A very quick glance at those projects. One is in Shivpur. The city community health center has been added, and there is a virtual museum will be there in Manmahal Astronomical Observatory. And of course, Sarnath being a very prominent place. So there, Prime Minister inaugurated a sound and light show for that area, you know, which is going to be another attraction. One more thing is the ongoing project, Namami Gange, you know, Clean Ganga project. In that, we see that in Goitha, there is a new sewage treatment plant is being installed. So that, I think, in cleaning the Ganga, because that region has been making a big contribution.
Goitha is very close to that vicinity, the central part. Now, in that village, if you are setting up a sewage treatment plant, because you already had one earlier, but broadly what happens that all the refuse, Ganga is slightly tilted. See, the problem is that, you know, the agriculture, because there is a slope along the Ganga course, there is a slope.
It's a permanent catchment region.
Now, what happens that if you are putting chemical fertilizers in your fields, what will happen that after rains, it will go into Ganga because of the slant. So now, few hundred kilometers, you will have to put up a sewage treatment plant on a stock premise that bio-oxygen demand, that is BOD, and dissolved oxygen. Because dissolved oxygen means that Ganga is clean. Higher the dissolved oxygen, higher the cleanliness of Ganga. Conversely, if BOD is high, bio-oxygen demand is high.
Oh, that means the quality of water.
Bacteria
is,
are there.
Yes.
So therefore, let us report said, no, it has to be completely free of BOD and levels should be brought down substantially.
So these STPs are going to make a big difference.
I think.
If we try to conclude our discussion right now, would you agree with me if I say that it was a very wonderful mix of spirituality and technology and social development?
See, no government or for that matter, no development can take place without a part of a spiritual dose that we have to give. But more than that, most important, this development has taken a shape now. And development is multifold, you know, a long-term development, short, these are both long-term development,
wholesome.
And this is what is required. There's no denying the fact.
So I think today was quite an interesting and a historic day as far as this region is concerned in Varanasi and around. Thank you very much, NK, for joining this discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on development projects in Varanasi. The participants were N.K. Singh, political analyst, and Vijay Kranti, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.